Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he'd come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Okay, so I remember when I was in our first year high school, and we were all in class, and all of a sudden one of the young fellows in class brought up his lunch and his breakfast and probably his morning tea and just went everywhere. And so the classroom just scattered, and we all huddled around the edges and out the door. And then the teacher said, "Okay, someone has to clean this up. Who wants to volunteer to clean it up? Go and get a bucket of water and a mop and clean up." So who would have volunteered? Someone's got to do it. Who does the messy jobs in your house? Okay. Well, so others are doing pretty well here. Do any of you children ever do the messy jobs? You do. Do you enjoy doing them? What sort of messy jobs, Jacinda? Washing the dishes. Very good, okay. How many fathers here changed nappies when they had little children? Okay, yes, my hand's not going up too high. When we were at the wedding yesterday, I was sitting next to Rick and Rachel, and they had their youngest there, whose name is... Lachlan, okay. And I think Rachel went off to change his nappy, and I said to Rick, "Isn't it your turn?" He wasn't very happy. Okay, today we're going to learn about someone who is very important, who was doing a job that no one liked doing. Now, most of you, a number of you here have sandals, I notice. I have sandals, and your feet are probably reasonably clean. But if you've been walking for a number of kilometres on a dirty, dusty road, you can imagine what your feet would be like, because the dirt gets under, you've got sweat, and it's really pretty horrible. In Jesus' time, most people wore sandals and most people walked on dirty, dusty roads. There was no tarmac. And so by the time you got to someone's house, you could have been walking on a dirty, dusty road for quite a few kilometres, and your feet really stank. And so it was the servant's job when you got to the house, the lowest paid servant would go around with a basin of water and would wash the feet of the guests who had arrived. It was really a pretty horrible job. We I mean, nowadays each Easter you see the Pope washing 12 boys' feet, and basically they've scrubbed up beforehand, you know, it's no big deal. But in those days, to wash people's feet after they've been walking so far on dusty roads, you know, with donkey dung and all sorts of things on the road, it was really, really a horrible job. Could you imagine living like that today, and maybe, you know, when you were at school, when you got to school, the principal coming out and washing your feet? Can you imagine that? Hard to imagine, isn't it? I mean, what about the Prime Minister washing your feet when you turn up at Parliament House in Canberra, or the Queen in Buckingham Palace? You can't really imagine it, can you? Okay, so what we're looking at tonight is the night before Jesus died. Later that night he will be arrested, he'll be taken away, he'll go through 6 mock trials, 3 before the Jewish authorities, two before the Roman authorities, 1 before the Jewish king. So he'll go through 6 mock trials. He's about to be beaten within an inch of his life, spat upon, humiliated, and then he'll be taken out, he'll be nailed on a cross, and he'll be left there hanging to die, and after about 6 hours, he will die. So Jesus knows all this. The beginning of our reading talks about all the things that Jesus knew. It says there, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he knew that he'd come from God, he knew that he was going to God. So Jesus knows that this is about to happen. He knows that he's about to suffer the most horrible death imaginable. So if you were about to suffer a really horrible death, you know you're about to suffer. Okay, we've been hearing recently about the 2 leaders of the Bali Nine, and every day they say, are they going to be executed today? Are they going to be executed today? If you were one of them, who would you want with you? Have a guess. What do you reckon, Rachel? People you love, people who loved you, family. That's why the family are with them. As you're facing a fairly horrible death, you really want people who you love and who love you to be with you. Now, Jesus was about to die, and he knew he was about to die. He knew what death he was about to die, and he really wanted to be with his best friends. And this particular night, he is with his best friends. He's with the 12 disciples. They're sitting there with them. You're about to die. You're really worried. You're upset. What would you like your best friends to do for you? What do you reckon? What do you think, Hannah? What would you like your best friends to be doing for you if you were facing a really horrible death like this? Would you like them to sit there quiet and smile? What would you like them to do? Pray for you? That's right. And maybe comfort you and be thinking about you and helping you. You know what Jesus' best friends were doing that night when they were with him and Jesus was about to die? His best friends were sitting around the table arguing. They were arguing as to who was the best. They were saying, I'm the best. And the one next to him would say, no, I'm the best. And another one would say, no, you're all wrong. I'm the best. Jesus is about to die this horrible death, and his 12 best friends are sitting there arguing about who is the best. With best friends like that, they weren't thinking of Jesus at all. They were just thinking of themselves. So I want you to put yourself in Jesus' shoes. How does he feel as he's sitting there facing this horrible death, his best friends arguing about who is the best? How do you feel when this is all going on around you? What would you feel like doing? I think I would feel like, different people would feel like different things. Some would feel like getting up and slapping them. I would feel like getting up and just walking away and hiding in a corner and crying. You can ask my wife. there's different things we would feel like doing, but you can imagine what Jesus felt like doing. So this is what Jesus did do. He got up from the table, he took off his coat, he wrapped a towel around his waist, he got a basin of water, he poured water into it, and then one by one he went past each of his best friends, 24 feet, and washed them. And you think, why does the most important person in the world, who is Jesus, why does he wash the disciples' feet who have been so mean to him? Would you have done that? Would you have felt like doing that? Okay, I'll tell you why he did it. After Jesus had washed the last of the 24 feet, he got up, he dried his hands, he took off the towel, and he put his coat back on, and then he sat down. And you can imagine, if you're sitting around that table, one of those 12 disciples, you'd just be sitting there, staring at him. You don't say a word. You're too shocked. You're too ashamed after the way you've behaved and been so selfish. And then Jesus said this. He said, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and yes, I am teacher and Lord. But as your teacher and your Lord, I have washed your feet. So if I, as your teacher and Lord, can wash your feet, you should be able to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now, if the greatest person in all the world can do that for 12 mean, horrible disciples, then we can do that for those who are mean to us. Jesus said, "Who is greater, you or I?" And the answer is, of course, that Jesus is greater. But even the greatest person on earth can stoop down to serve others. Jesus wanted his disciples especially to care for each other, even when he wasn't there, because he wasn't going to be there within 24 hours. And Jesus wants us to be like him. But here's something strange that happened while he was washing the disciples' feet. While he was washing the disciples' feet, he came to one of his disciples, Peter. And when he went to wash Peter's feet, you know, Peter had seen him washing Thomas's feet, and he'd seen him washing James's feet, and he'd seen him washing Bartholomew's feet, and he'd seen him washing someone else's feet. And then he came to Peter, and Peter withdrew his feet, and he said, "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." He didn't want Jesus washing his feet. I think he was ashamed. I think he was ashamed of the way they'd all been behaving, that they hadn't been thinking about Jesus, that they hadn't been trying to help Jesus. I think he was just ashamed, and he just didn't want to be involved. Jesus said this. He said, "If you don't let me wash your feet, then you don't belong to me. If you don't let me wash your feet, then you don't belong to me." That's a really strange thing for Jesus to say. But I think Jesus was teaching us there something which is really important. Because Jesus was about to die. Why was Jesus about to die? Can one of your children tell me? What was Jesus to accomplish by dying on the cross? What do you think, Rachel? Okay, he was going to save everyone who believes in him. Sorry, Caleb, were you going to say that? For our sins. He was going to forgive us for our sins, wasn't he? So by Jesus dying on the cross, the way the Bible puts it, is he was going to wash away our sins. And he only washes away the sins of those who believe in him. You're quite right. And what he's saying to Peter is, look, if you don't let me wash you, you've got no part in me. And he's actually thinking ahead to when he dies on the cross. And he says, if you don't let me wash your sins away through my death on the cross, then you don't belong to me. You can only belong to me if you let me wash your sins away. So it's bad enough to have dirty, smelly feet, but it's far, far worse to have dirty, smelly sin. And far more than having our feet washed, we need our sin to be washed away. And that means we do have to confess our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us. And it's only as we confess our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us that we can belong to him, that we can be part of him. So they're the two things that Jesus wanted to get across to the disciples that night. One, if I, who am greater than you all, can wash your feet, then you can really help those that are mean to you when they are mean to you. And secondly, more importantly, if you want to belong to me, you've got to allow me to wash your sin away by trusting in me and what I've done on the cross. Okay, we'll leave it there and we'll close with our last song.